Welcome to Property Profits Podcast. I'm your host, Bryce Kaminsky, filling in for Dave Dubow. And have you ever wondered what it takes to restart your investing journey from scratch, facing challenges and transforming personal loss into a powerful driving force? Well, today, my guest is no stranger to the ups and downs of the real estate roller coaster. Joining me today, Bill Sweeney, a resilient individual originally from Philadelphia, and is now making waves on the picturesque central coast of California. He's not only conquered the hurdles, but is on a mission to create a lasting legacy through a unique apartment project. Bill, welcome to the show. Great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack. We were talking a little bit before the show, and the main question is always, how did this get started for you? How did you get into real estate?
Okay, so while I was in college, I went to Penn State. I decided to be an ocean lifeguard during the summers. Mm-hmm. And after that, after I graduated, I realized I needed to find an actual job. So one of my friends I lifeguarded with, her father owned a real estate brokerage, and I asked if I could join. So I got my real estate license in New Jersey, joined the brokerage, and about 6 months later, I got my first sale. This first sale was a really good opportunity for me. It was a $5.2 million house.
I had a soundboard in the ear, $5.2 million commission. Not exactly the whole thing, but you know, if you know anything about the commissions, that's a good job, man.
Appreciate it. Yeah. So it was my ex-girlfriend now. It was her mother buying a property down the shore. And it really kicked off my real estate career and allowed me to buy my first property. So I was able to buy a property at 22 years old. And during that time, I had roommates move in with me. So I basically lived there for free, charged them low rent, and we all just hung out and did our own thing. So I did real estate part-time for a little while. But I was given an opportunity to work for Planet Fitness as the director of real estate development.
Mm.
So basically what I did, I would find the properties. I would select the bidders, do the project management, make sure everything was going planned, and then move on to the next one. I was able to do about four or five of them total, mm-hmm. and a few remodels as well.
Yeah, that's a good opportunity. How did you come into that?
So my ex-girlfriend's parents owned Planet Fitness in Philadelphia and Chicago. So they had about 36 gyms. And they saw that I wanted to be involved in real estate. A role came up for the company. And I was able to capitalize on it.
It's a definitely a who you know situation here. So I did the quick math on that at a point and a half commission. Congratulations on the sale. When you started, you know, like that's kind of a strange way to be involved in real estate, but sometimes people don't recognize commercial and development as that space because, you know, you look at a gym and it's going to need to be, you know, there's going to be a painter in there, there's going to be flooring, there's going to be massive electrical contracting that goes in to plug all of those equipments together and get it all going. So that's originally in Philadelphia, and you said that you recently have moved.
Correct.
So are you doing real estate now out in California?
So I recently began working for a private equity company, and I'm doing acquisitions for them now. But I'm doing apartment buildings. So basically I'm finding apartment buildings for them to acquire, and they're buying cash, and yeah, that's pretty much the basics of it. But
it must be nice to have someone with that sort of cash kicking around to acquire these things, because a lot of the challenges in multifamily acquisition is like, who's got $5.2 million sitting around? And so hedge funds, private equity firms, if you can get connected with those, it certainly can outlet these deals that are out there, but you know, can be challenging to sometimes finance. So As far as acquiring those things or finding them, what do you think's been most successful for you as far as finding these things or talking to the owners to really convince them, hey, it's time to sell?
So I haven't closed my first deal with this company yet. It's only been about 3 weeks since I started, but I've been doing pretty well on Facebook groups, just reaching out to owners directly on there. And then they're DMing me and sending me their properties saying, hey, this is off market. We're mainly looking for off market properties. So anything that's on the market, we don't want. We're trying to get 20% below market rate in order to close on a deal. So I probably sent about 15 deals over so far and haven't closed on any of them. But I'm also keeping these deals in my back pocket saying, hey, other investors, I have these deals. We don't want them, but maybe you do.
Yeah, because some people think that, especially in a larger multifamily, and that price ticket that you're closing like one a month or something like that. But the reality is that a lot of commercial real estate agents are only really closing a handful of deals a year, and they take 6 months to kind of wash them out. As soon as you even get into the negotiation, it might be, 4 to 6 months before you actually get a commitment after all the due diligence and things like that. So commercial moves slower, but the paychecks are definitely bigger as you're getting commissions on larger things. So, when it comes to all this real estate stuff that you've been doing and, getting in over here and then the Planet Fitness thing and now over on the acquisitions, what is it you would say is your unfair advantage? What is it that comes easy to you that other people might find difficult?
So I guess just from being a lifeguard, I was around a lot of people often. So I was able to talk to people very easily and kind of just make them feel comfortable. And just be honest with people and not beat around the bush, very direct. Hey, this is what we're trying to do. How can we get this done? I'm trying to close a deal as soon as possible.
Yeah, being able to deal with that human nature of people, especially in commercial, is sometimes difficult because they might be a legacy owner. They might be 65, 75, 85, own the apartment for 40 years or something, and now moving on. So let's talk a little bit about what the future holds. So when we're looking at what is it that you've got your eye on as far as your own projects, or we talked a little bit before the call about, well, let's touch on that for a second if you care to. I mean, you don't have to get into that if you don't want to, but tell us about the apartment project and maybe go as far as you want in that backstory.
Okay, so I am planning on getting into my own apartment complex for single mothers. I'm doing this in honor of my mother who passed away. It was a goal of hers for me to have affordable housing for single mothers. I lost her almost 2 years ago, and this is really important for me because it keeps her legacy alive. So basically my goal is to get government subsidies involved, low rent, high security, possibly a gym, maybe a daycare, and like 1 to 3 bedroom apartments at an affordable rate.
Yeah, because you definitely need multiple rooms. That's probably one of the biggest challenges is the rent that typically single people can afford has them sleeping in the living room, has them sleeping on the couch. I came from that background, me and my brother bunk beds in one room, and my mom had like a divider and she's sleeping in the other half of the living room. That was her bedroom. So, to be able to kind of give a different sort of framework, is a very admirable goal. So how far along are you on that project? Is it still, in the planning phase, or have you found any land, or do you have any idea where that might go and what that might be?
So I just started looking for properties. I have some agents who are sending me properties in Philadelphia. I'm still in the planning phase. I do have general contractors who are interested in working with me. I have an architect who's interested in working with me. So I have a few connections from past experiences that I think will be able to help me move forward. And I also have a few investors that said they would possibly be interested if they saw the numbers and could make something work.
Yeah, because you're going to definitely have to raise some capital to put that together. What has been the main way that you've been able to find capital for this project and other projects that you've been working on?
So basically, Facebook groups, they've been pretty helpful with having me find like hard money lenders. Everything I need, it's kind of in that realm. There's a bunch of investors who are willing to help people. So it's been pretty good for me. I mean, I'm still early in the process, but the amount of support I've gotten for me posting this just a few days ago that I want to make this happen, it's finally starting to go in the right direction. It's pretty exciting.
Now, are you finding that the people who are interested in jumping in on board on that project have similar visions, or is it just people who want to like invest in a project period?
I've had a few people DM me saying this project would mean a lot to them because they come from similar backgrounds. So I'm seeing that. And I'm also seeing people who are already in that field and are just willing to help because they like the concept behind it.
So, what type of involvement did you have in Philadelphia as far as real estate is concerned?
So most of my sales, I've only had, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 sales, but I've done over 10 million in real estate, just residential real estate. And then that doesn't account for the commercial sales that I've done with Planet Fitness. I wasn't making commission on the Planet Fitness sales, but it gave me a lot of experience and a lot of connections. So I'm pretty grateful for it, even though I wasn't making too much money.
Yeah, I mean that's an interesting opportunity. So what, beyond, so you're doing these acquisitions, you're looking at constructing this apartment block. What would you say was the reason that this acquisitions company was interested in bringing you on board?
I think they liked my experience dealing with property owners directly and being able to deal with commercial properties. Not many people know how to handle these type of things. So I guess my experience is definitely a major factor.
Yeah, because I mean, if you look at the paperwork involved for a residential purchase versus a commercial purchase, a few more pieces of paper definitely to navigate that. And I would say, from my experience dealing with commercial, especially with like real estate agents and different wholesalers, it's almost the game of follow-up. There's not. It's not so much like I can walk into a single family home with a blank contract and do my thing and walk out with a, signed offer from the homeowner. And that's just not the case when you're dealing with, multi-use or multi-family commercial. So you really have to do a lot of points of contact. So how do you manage the follow-up with, let's say your capital partners and these acquisitions, because, to stay on top of something for 6 months to get paid is really the skill in the business. So give the people at home maybe a couple of tips on if they're just getting into it, what you found to be successful to stay in contact with the whole deal, because there's lots of moving pieces.
I would definitely say keep notes. I use like spreadsheets, and then just have all the items separated so you can keep organized. That's been pretty helpful for me. Just having something written down where you can actually see, all right, this is what I have to do. This is what I have to do, and make a checklist and make sure you follow through with that checklist, and then reach back out to people if you need to.
Because yeah, you could certainly, drop the ball on a larger commercial and spend 3 months on it and have it fall through. Like I was doing one a couple of years ago and I brought it most of the way there, but I was like, these tire kickers aren't going to end up closing. I'm wasting my time. And that can happen in the commercial space. You know, you're 3 or 4 months in, you've shown it like 3 or 4 times. And hey, guys, you're looking at the same electrical panel that you looked at last time. And what ended up happening is I took my foot off of it, and turns out, those people ended up carrying on without me and closing the deal. So I walked away from it. And I think I remember being on the phone because the agent that I was working with was my agent. I was like, you know what? This thing, it's eating up my time. If you can close this door, go close the door. And they took it to the conclusion, but it just goes to show that when there's motivated parties, if you're not the like transaction person, they'll just find someone else to transact and you'll get cut out of the deal. So have there been any obstacles like that in the commercial game where maybe you got cut out or maybe you dropped the ball and wish you could have done it different?
I mean, when I was working for Planet Fitness, I probably found about 1,000 properties and communicated with maybe 50 to 100 different brokers. And we ended up only closing on about 3 or 4 of those deals. So it takes a lot of work in order just to get one close. So that's what most people don't understand. They think, oh, I found this deal, I'm going to close. And they look right at the commission check of what they're
Yeah,
going
they're
to get
starting to
paid.
calculate it before they have a buyer, before they have an offer. They're like, oh, 1% of.
People jump the gun a lot and they don't realize that you have to, it takes a lot of work in order just to get one closed. So
Yeah,
my
they
advice would.
typically fail, right? They typically fail in the due diligence. Something's up. You know, if they're selling, they'll find it. You know, the due diligence. I always say people are like, oh, send me the pro forma and stuff like that on a commercial deal. And I'm like, okay, cool. And I get the pro forma and I send it across. And I'm just thinking to myself, it doesn't matter because the guy's probably put it together himself. It's on a napkin, it's on a Word document. They're gonna like a real serious buyer, like your fund there. They're just gonna do all their own due diligence. They're gonna audit the rent rolls. They're gonna audit everything. They're gonna check the maintenance. They're gonna want to see receipts. So, you know, for me, I would always say to people like, get some like baseline data to get the buyer interested, and then let them do. They're gonna do their due diligence anyways. Just like, you know, buyers are liars, sellers are liars. So let them sort it out and just kind of transact that. Have you come across that a lot or a little with the information provided by the sellers?
Well, so for me, I do my own spreadsheet no matter what they tell me what the numbers are. So that I do my own underwriting and then it will tell me like if this is a good deal for us or not. And that will be my basis. And if the numbers don't work, I have to drop the price. And if it doesn't work for them, I just move on to the next deal. So
Yeah.
I just have like a baseline set of what I need in order to get the deal closed. And if they can't make that happen, then I just move on.
Well, I love it when you get the pro forma and all the numbers are round. There's like, it's all zeros. It's like 2,000. How much did it cost for snow removal last year? 1,000. It's just like, okay. So it wasn't like $1,137.54. So like, clearly, you have no idea what it is, and that's a clear indication. So, people listening at home, if you get a pro forma with lots of zeros on it, it's time to really dig into it. If it's really nice and maybe it's put together by property management, maybe there's some validity to it, but do your research on the back, or you're going to end up the deal's just going to fall apart later, you know, because your buyer's going to do the due diligence and figure it out. So, save yourself some time, save your buyer some time, do your own due diligence. Now, as far as capital goes for this apartment complex that you're putting together, how much money do you think you're going to have to raise for that, and in what period of time?
So I think it would probably cost anywhere from 800,000 to 2 million total. That's including like construction. I just want to do a small apartment complex just to get my foot in the ground. So maybe like a
Set a
12
precedent.
unit. And I'm looking for something that needs work, that is undervalued and would be a good investment opportunity for other people. I'm not trying to make money off of this deal. I just want to do this deal for my mom, basically, and help other
Going.
people.
Yeah, get
So
it going, get it off the ground. So There's one more. What was I going to say? The question is, if you were to start again, you've been doing real estate now for a few years. If you were to start again with what you know now, what would you do differently, if anything?
Definitely invest my money better. It's easy to get caught up when you're getting a $65,000 paycheck when you're 21 years old, going out on the weekends, gambling. Probably wouldn't have gotten myself into the gambling as much. That was something I made a big mistake on. Living the fast life. You get that paycheck and you just want to go out with your friends on the weekend and put money on sports games that you think are going to win just to make more money, just getting caught up in the money. So definitely invest better. I was also involved with stocks that were very risky. I was involved in cryptocurrency that got stolen. Just not keeping my money where I need it to.
Yeah. And that's kind of the tale of the tape is like, I remember I had, back in the day, I had a girlfriend in high school. Her Chinese mother grabbed my hand and said, "Look, you've got holes in your fingers. You're gonna be money's gonna fall through." It's like a Chinese proverb. And I was like, man, they are huge. So it's like maybe I should get someone. You put your hands together tight and you can see like right through. And it's just like, yeah, the money's falling right through these old hands. So I got to find a money manager. I've done the same. You make some wholesale checks and it's like a feast or famine thing. You're like hungry to spend it almost. But same thing. Wish I would have put a few more in the rainy day fund. Now, if people want to invest with you, they want to, reach out to you and get in part with this project that you're working on, or if they have like some commercial deals that might be of interest to you, how do they connect with you? What should they do?
I guess the easiest would be follow me on Instagram. I'm getting a website built right now, so that's currently not set up, but it's in the works. It should be ready in like a week or two. But I have all my other socials at the bottom of my Instagram. There's a link, so you can follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, but that would probably be the easiest way. And it
Awesome.
is Billy underscore Sweeney underscore.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you, sharing your story with us, and I wish you all the luck with that project. I think it's important work that you're doing.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, no problem. And until next time, guys, we'll catch you on the next episode.